the Hollywood Outsider, our weekly movie and TV podcast. We have a new episode available every week. Remember to grab the Hoe on the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. Just please share the show with your friends on your social media outlets. And you can always find out more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. I'm Aaron Peterson, and I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider, where every once in a while we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to kind of to give you an insight into what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into that respective film itself. For this episode, I am speaking with Pedro Morelli. He's the director of the film Zoom, which releases September 2nd. Zoom stars Gael Garcia Bernal, Alison Pill, Tara Levine, and many others, and follows three characters on interlocking paths. Emma is a comic book artist, and she's kind of going through a body crisis of sorts. Edward is an animated film director. Yes, animated. He's a cartoon film director who is struggling with artistic differences as well as a diminished appendage. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? And Michelle, a model turned novelist who's writing about, well, you'll see. I can't really give that away. By the end of the movie, you'll see where each of these characters connect, and the film is genuinely entertaining throughout. It is really hard to explain much more about Zoom without giving something away, and I don't want to do that. So just know that it is very much in that Being John Malkovich vein, quirky and still enjoyable. Pedro and I sat down and discussed getting his vision made, difficulties from the ideas at play, assembling that cast, and much more in our exclusive interview. And I'm sure you guys are already sick of hearing from me, so let's just get right to it. Take a listen and then be sure to check out Zoom for yourself. Here is our interview with director Pedro Morelli. Pedro, it's Aaron with The Hollywood Outsider. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're in, are you in Brazil right now? Is that where you're at?
Yes, I'm in Rio now. I live in São Paulo, but I'm in Rio for this TV series.
Oh, what series is that?
It's City of Men. It's have you heard of it?
City of Men. Is that available here in the US?
Not sure, but it was a very big series in Brazil. It's kind of a sequel to City of God.
Oh, okay.
So there were four seasons and a feature film after it, and that was 10 years ago. And now the series is coming back, and we're going to have a new season now, and I was invited to direct.
Well, that's pretty fantastic. Are you excited?
Yes, very much.
Well, the first thing I usually ask anybody that I talk to is, what made you want to get into this? What was your first inspiration to be an artist or to be a director? When did you know that was what you wanted to do?
Well, my dad is a director, so I've always been surrounded by filmmaking. I've been to film sets since I was a baby, pretty much. And by the way, my father used to direct this City of Men series.
Wow.
Yeah. It's funny because it was all about two characters from the favelas to friends. And now we're going to shoot with the same actors, and they're 10 years older, and they have kids. They have sons. So the son of the director is directing. So it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I've always had this this very close relationship with film.
I'm trying to think. I think I did see that because it was like there were two movies and they were very stretched apart, right? It was like City of God, City of Men, and they were about 5 or 6 years apart, something like that?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah, my father directed the movie City of God, City of Men. There was the movie City of God, then there was a TV series with four seasons, City of Men,
okay,
and a feature film, City of Men, in the end.
Yeah, that's like a whole enterprise.
Yeah, pretty big.
Well, let's talk about Zoom. It's one of the most unique films I've seen in a while, honestly, and in a summer full of remakes, retreads, sequels, and everything else. I mean, it was really nice to get something refreshing. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You've been working on this for several years. So what about it was so appealing?
Well, yes, I've worked on it for like 5.5 years, I think. Mm-hmm. It started in a very nice way. The Canadian producer, Neve Fishman, he invited me to make a film when I was 23 years old. Now I'm 30. And I used to work, I did work in Blindness, the movie.
Okay.
Which is a co-production between Niv and O2. And I was a trainee there when I was 21. So that's where I met Niv. And 2 years after, when I was 23, he invited me to make my film. And he was making a couple of films with first-time filmmakers. He did two in Canada, one in Mexico. And he was planning to do many more in Asia or anywhere. He travels a lot, this guy. And he invited me to to make one. And he and I said, okay, so what do you want? What's the film you're looking for? And he just said he wanted something very fresh, very original, very creative. That's why he was inviting such a young guy and first-time filmmaker to make it. So he just said, go do whatever you want. It has to be in English because it's a co-production. Mm-hmm. And just don't do something square, something conventional. Just go wild. So I had to.
Well, you went wild. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What was the hardest aspect of this? Because in your movie, you've got three timelines, you've got animation. There's a lot of things going on. I'm trying to figure out what was the hardest part in terms of the production.
I believe the hardest part was the animation because we did that like frame by frame. It was 21,000 frames. It was a crazy amount of work. We had 25 guys, 25 illustrators working for 5 months. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the hardest part for me because I wasn't drawing. I was just like going there every day to say, how's it going, you know, and saying, oh, more like this, more like that.
Right.
But I wasn't actually drawing, like, I don't know how many. Each guy had to do like 60 drawings a day or something like that. It was crazy. For me, it was the script, the hardest part for sure, because it's so complex. And and we spent 4.5 years only writing. And I was very, very active, very, very present in the script. It's based in a original idea by me. So I was there the whole time with the writer. And every time you change something in the script, you have to change in the other stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was crazy because you're always changing, and then you have to change 3 times, and then the ending doesn't make sense anymore, and you have to change the whole thing. So that took a long time.
Yeah, because your movie's very much a puzzle where you have 3 connecting pieces and they have to come together at the end. I can imagine.
Exactly.
Was it more nerve-wracking or just a challenge? You just enjoyed the challenge of trying to connect it all.
I think it was a great challenge. I mean, you know, when you work for such a long time, it's very intense. So there are some nerve-wracking, crazy moments and stressful, of course, because sometimes you say, why didn't I do it like a simple story? And but it was an amazing challenge after all, and I'm very glad I chose this direction, you know, because when Niv called me and said I could do whatever I wanted, that I just couldn't do something too square, I had to, you know, to try something different. So I'm very, I think I did the right thing, you know, to do something as crazy as possible and use this opportunity, because I don't think that's ever going to happen to me again, you know, having a producer saying, okay, do whatever you want. So I had to take that opportunity to go really wild.
Yeah, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking you must have pretty much felt like Edward, because it just seems like it was almost, it would have to be from your perspective, because you're making this movie and it's, I can't see many studios wanting to sell the vision that he was trying to paint at the beginning. I can't imagine many studios trying to be so open to your vision for this, because it is pretty out there.
Yes, totally. Difference is my producers were with me the whole time. They didn't fuck it up in the middle. But yeah.
Did you have to make any compromises just to make it all work?
Yeah, I think so. Like that's something that you do all the time, you know. You always think stuff will work in a way, and you have always to compromise something and change. And that's actually, that happens every day in the process. But you have to, you know, follow your instincts and get priorities, you know, because directing is making choices. You make 100 choices a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, you know, just choose the priorities.
One thing that kind of stood out to me as you watch Zoom is that each storyline has its own real specific look. You have Edward's animated, you've got Emma's a little bit more standard by the numbers kind of shots. And Michelle is very active filmmaking. I'm trying to figure out, why was it important to you to make sure that each vision was so unique?
Because I think that helps telling the story, and all the 3 different aesthetics, they are totally related to the essence of their medias. Mm-hmm. So the animated, you know, Edward is a drawing, is a comic book, so it makes a lot of sense for him to be a drawing. And Michelle is the camera never stops, and it's always like so over the top. You have like the camera turning upside down when it doesn't make sense for it to turn upside down. So it's kind of a parody with an over the top art house film kind of thing. And Emma is, you know, I like the pop thing of it, the symmetrical and almost robotic acting, because that writer that's writing her is like stuck with creativity, so everything is kind of geometrical and doesn't move much. So she's trying to lose herself when she's writing it, and the camera doesn't move. So I was trying to translate the creative process of each character into the images, and that was something that was there from the beginning. Three different looks in the three different stories. So it's part of the pop thing of the film, I think.
It does. It really works. It really does.
Nice.
I have to be honest. This might be the first time I would call a movie about breast enhancements and a penis pump an art film, but it's very much an art film. I think there's a deeper meaning, at least there was to me, in that I feel like it's trying to say a little bit more about our beauty-obsessed culture, how it directly affects aspects of both our personal and professional lives. I'm curious, since this was like a personal pet project of yours, what were you hoping to convey, or what meaning were you hoping people took from it?
Well, you got it. That's it. It's all about this the superficial society in which people try to follow standards so hard that they end up losing their own identity. And that's the world we live in, and it's more and more like that. Like every year with technology, it gets even worse, because people are comparing themselves with other people the whole time when they're posting images and checking other people's images and all that. So it's getting worse and worse. And the idea is that we have this three stories structure, and each is creating the other, and the characters realize they're being created at some point. They realize they're puppets from someone else. At the same time, in the film, they also realize they're puppets of this superficial society, and they don't really they don't respect who they are. They're following some sort of instructions from someone who's like the media or something, who's telling us, oh, you have to look like this, you have to be like that. So they're puppets of two things at the same time, and both of them are broken during the film.
It was really interesting. I didn't realize that I didn't see the message until about halfway through, and I'm like, I see what he's going for now. Because for the beginning, I'm just trying to understand what the hell is going on for a lot of it, and which is a compliment. That is a compliment. A lot of times, yeah, that's a compliment.
That was intentional, so I'm glad to hear that.
I do. This is a personal question, but how did you do Allison? This is weird. How did you do Allison's breasts? Because that was better than most augmentations I've seen.
It was a prosthetic breast. We shot that in Canada, so it was a Canadian crew.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so huge. That was it. It was like, and we did a little bit of post on the upper part of her breast. Like it's like a something, I don't know if it's made of rubber or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there, when it goes up, and then at some point starts to be her own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And in that part, the edge of the prosthetics there, you could see it. So in post, we erased that. That's the trick.
Uh-huh.
But the breasts themselves are pretty good. You can, like, we've made like close-ups of the breasts and stuff.
Yeah, it was right here. We just sold a bunch of people on watching the movie that they were they might not have been sold, but now they're curious. So there you go. I don't know if you realized it when you cast him, but you've got a stellar cast. I mean, you've got Zorro, you've got Gael Garcia Bernal. I don't know if he was cast at the time for Zorro or not, but he'll be Zorro soon.
I didn't know that.
No.
It's gonna be Zorro. That's awesome.
Yeah, you didn't know that it was in the trades, I'm pretty sure, unless that changed in some way. Allison Pill, she was in Newsroom. You've got Jason Priestley, who I really liked here. I haven't seen him play this kind of character before. You got Tyler Labine and Mariana. Was it the material that brought everybody into the fold, or was it just you just happen to have connections?
I think we have Fernando Meirelles as a producer that helps a lot, but mostly I think they just like the script, the craziness, and they were just curious to figure out what the hell was that all about, you know. All the actors read it, said, really? How? They all came to me, like, the first time I talked to all of them, were like, but how are we going to do that? How, you know, like, are you sure? But they were curious and excited, and that was it.
Were you nervous about that? I mean, going into it, like, I really hope this works. Is it one of those things where until you get it edited, you're still not 100%?
Well, I think not so much. I mean, it was a very risky film, still is, of course. And but the concept, the spirit of the film was to take risks, to do something, you know, to try something totally different. So that, yeah, you know, that was the spirit. The spirit was not to be afraid of anything, just go for it, you know. So I tried to keep the spirits the whole time.
That's really unique. I really enjoyed it. Could you picture a sequel where you make the same characters just like as different roles? Like Emma would be animated and Michelle would be the one working with the mannequins or something?
I never thought of that. There you go. Zoom 2.
Zoom 2. Closer or something. What else is next for you after you complete the work on this series that you're working on?
I have another series that I'm shooting in São Paulo, another TV series. And I'm trying to decide which is going to be my next feature film. Not so sure yet. My plan A is to do a film in English, an international film, but I also have some Brazilian projects. So I still don't know. I'm reading scripts and writing some ideas as well.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. And before I let you go, I do want to ask in terms of the animation, because that's the really, I mean, really, if you're watching the film or you've just seen the trailer, it really stands out. Was that motion capture animation or was it just all animated and then they just did the voices, like Gail did the voices, or how was that done?
It's motion, it's called rotoscope. So we shot that with actors. It's very similar technique to what I did in Waking Life and Scanner Darkly by Richard Linklater. We shoot with actors in a very, very simple scenery. Like, it's not a green screen, but it was a gray screen because it didn't matter. And we didn't want to look at a green screen for weeks. So you shoot that, you edit, and you draw frame by frame on top of the images with a lot of detail. As you can see, if you pause the film in the animations, every frame is different because everyone was made by hand by those illustrators. Of course, they were using, like, you know, a software. It wasn't by hand. But it's the idea was to have a very handmade look because she's drawing that comic book, you know, in her house and all that. So it's a very uneven look for the animation, for the traces, for the lines, you know. I was trying to get that from the animation and combine this analogical look with the digital world we're in the animation. So that was the idea.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, thanks so much. I know you got to get into, you're doing more interviews, but I wanted to say thanks for coming on, and I hope best of luck with the release. It's a really unique film.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I hope the film goes well, and I hope my next film, I can talk to you again.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it.
Awesome. Take care.
There you go, guys. That was my interview with Zoom director Pedro Morelli. Once again, the film releases on September 2nd, so be sure to check it out when it's available. It's a really cool and unique film. I really think you're going to like it. Once again, thanks for listening to the Hollywood Outsider Podcast. We try to bring you these interviews from the world of independent cinema when we can. I really hope you enjoyed this one. I think he's a great guy, and it's a really unique vision. You don't get many of those these days, so go check it out when you can. Remember to grab the Hoe on the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. And please review us through whichever one of those you use, as well as share the show with your friends on your social media outlets, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, whatever it is you use. Find more information and more reviews at thehollywoodoutsider.com. But that's it for now. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you guys that the next time you head into a theater to see Zoom, buy popcorn. We'll be right back.